The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you. Shout, then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once, and then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Now Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, and they did this for 6 days. And then it came about on the seventh day that they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they marched around the city 7 times. It came about as the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." All the teaching under Moses that Joshua had, and now the reality began to kick in of him being the leader. This was totally new for Joshua. He'd really never done this before. And I got thinking about, as I'm reading this, how does God speak to us? He speaks to us today through his word, through circumstances, through a sense of his peace, through other people, and also the witness of the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about Duncan Campbell. You'll know, just bear with me, will I just really go through these things. Of guidance, the way that God guides, the way that he spoke to Joshua, and what he said to him specifically to act upon. And I was thinking about Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell had been to the island of Lewis, and he'd spoke, and then he left, and then he spoke in a conference. And this conference was from Monday to Friday, and on the Thursday, he felt so convicted that he shouldn't speak at this conference on the following day. He was so convicted that he left that. He said to the committee, "I cannot preach here. I have to go. I have to go to the island of Lewis." And he jumped on a ferry. And when he got off the ferry, he was walking off the ferry, and a guy met him. And he said, "Duncan Campbell," he said, "we've been expecting you." And I was thinking, how does God speak like that? A real witness of the Holy Spirit. These fresh encounters, and this is what we're going to be looking at this evening. What is an encounter with God? A really fresh encounter. And I was thinking, why did Joshua need this? Because in chapter 1, God had already made it really, really plain. They'd given him promises. He said that, "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to show you how to be successful." Why did he need an encounter with God? If you remember, looking back at chapter 1, he commanded him to be strong and courageous. Then he said, "Be strong and very courageous." Then he actually commanded him to be very strong and very courageous. So why an encounter? Well, as we looked at last week, he kind of crossed the Jordan. They got the priorities right. You remember the circumcision? You remember the memorial? You remember the Gilgal? You remember the Passover? Now he's here. And he's kind of facing this giant. He knows that they can't go back, so what now? And as we've been reading Joshua, you'll find that it says that he had to look up, but of course he's looking down. I think he must have been in a position and thinking, "Lord, I can't go back. We cannot go back. And now you've brought me in as this leader. Oh my word, how on earth do we do this?" And all that Joshua knew, that he'd been trained under Moses, and he was a warrior. But this was going to be done completely different altogether. Something that he's never known before. And so I believe here, as we look at this, that he needed a fresh encounter with God. All his training under Moses was not going to cut this. And I really believe that in our lives, you and I need often a fresh encounter with God when there's something big that's coming, and it's going to be so completely different to what we've known. And he does, he draws near and he draws close and he begins to speak and he begins to whisper. But Joshua, he's stood and he's thinking, how on earth am I going to do this? Let me just read something to you about Jonathan Edwards. Before the Great Awakening, he made a covenant with God. Standing on the riverbank, he cried out to God for a revival in the land. And drawing a circle in the sand, he pledged that before God could take the city, the region, the nation, that God must start here. And he pointed to the circle. And then Edwards stepped into the circle. It says, for a community, a city, a nation, I suppose even an island, to be gripped with revival, a man or a woman must first be fully gripped by God. A fresh encounter is needed. In order to shake the nations for God, we must first let God shake us. And I'm thinking about people that often met with God in a real fresh encounter. Number one were Moses. Number two were the Apostle Paul. Then you look at Thomas. Then you look at Isaiah that we've been briefly looking at tonight. The two people on the Emmaus Road. Has anybody ever come across this book? It's called They Found the Secret. This is one of my favorite books. I'll tell you why. It's because I've read it and I have read it and I've made a mess of it and I've underlined it. And all the people that you and I maybe even sing their songs and we read about, every one of these people had such a fresh encounter with God, it changed the whole life and the whole ministry. Listen to number one, Hudson Taylor. Number two, John Bunyan. Number three, Amy Carmichael. Number four, Oswald Chambers. Number five, Charles Finney. Number six, Francis Havergal. Number seven, D.L. Moody. Number eight, Andrew Murray. All the people that we've read about over the years, in this book is their story of the encounter with God. Some of them got so fed up with the self because they were kind of doing all the Christian stuff and nothing were happening. And every one of them had a fresh encounter that changed the whole life and how they lived. I love the story of a little lad who fell out of bed. And when his mum asked him what happened, he said, I don't know. I think I stayed too close to where I got in. We can really do the same thing. It's very tempting to just stay where we are and not move off. You'll find that here, this Christophany, as Joshua meets Jesus himself before he were even born. I'll tell you the reason why, is that he bowed down and he began to kind of bow in worship to this angel, this Christophany, this man here with a drawn sword. And we are told never to worship an angel. And so this commander, if you like, as Joshua meets this new commander, he never tells him off. He never says, don't worship me. And so we know that this person is Jesus himself as he appears to Joshua. And Joshua actually thinks that he's the commander, but he's not. Everything from this moment is completely out of Joshua's control. As a warrior, he would have had strategy. He would have a plan. He'd sit down with his men. He'd think it through and he'd pray it through. And all of a sudden, this one is totally different. There is no way he could ever think about conquering Jericho on his own like this. He needed this encounter with God. And so all of a sudden, Joshua now, he meets the real commander in charge. And this Christophany, the army, the commander of the armies of the Lord, he says to Joshua, take off your shoes because this is holy ground. And when I looked at that, and I might have shared this with you before because this is part of my calling here, is that Joshua, take off your shoes of experience because all that you've been trained to do is not going to cut this. This is going to be totally new. And folks, when God calls us into things like this, it's very uncomfortable and we have to really throw ourselves totally upon God. And this is what Joshua had to do. And I want to encourage you tonight, is not to live just according to how you've been taught and what you've been trained to do. Because often God will, he will really, by faith, he will help us to step out of our boat. Lots of things that happen in the New Testament, I don't think they could ever write that. Peter getting out of the boat, walking on water, I don't think he'd even ever thought about doing that. But these are the things that Jesus does, and he calls us into. He stretches our faith. He's unlimited. And sometimes, maybe me more than you. By the way, when I'm kind of talking like this, I'm not having a go. This is God really speaking to me. And stretching me, stretching my thinking, stretching my prayer life, stretching my faith. Because sometimes what I want to do, even when we land in a new place, is get comfy again and go right back to how I like it. It's so easy to do that. And so here's God, he's speaking to Joshua. Shoes of experience, Joshua's not going to cut this. All your training's not going to cut this. We're going to take this totally different. And I'm going to reveal it to you. I struggle with that. I don't know about you. I really struggle with that. And sometimes we can't hear God outside of that because we never think he's going to talk to us like that. I remember a girl when I had my clothing shop. You can't believe that, can you? That I used to sell ladies' clothing, man alive. But I had a shop in Ghoul, and it was a nice little shop, and we did pretty well. But there were a few ladies that I got to know, and one of them were called Alwyn. And Alwyn, she was a single lady, and she used to come in and buy all my 18s and 20s. She was that type of a woman. She was lovely. She used to come in. She was a single woman, and she was always talking about her and her pussy. Always talking about her and her cat. And what she'd do, she'd come in, she'd go round, and she'd go, I love that, I love that, I love that. And then she'd go into the corner and put kettle on. She used to put kettle on in my shop and just sit down and have a drink of tea. And in a way, I was quite thrilled about that because it meant that she felt at home. She was a Christian lady. And we used to have some really good conversations when it was quiet. And she used to say to me, I've just written a few things down. We would talk about all kinds of stuff. And then she'd say to me this, well, what you're saying is okay, I agree with you. But he says, it were all right for my ancestors, it's all right with my mum and my dad. It were all right for my Uncle Jim, so that means it's all right for me. She wasn't living her dream, her vision. She was living somebody else's, and she was stuck in the past. She was a lovely girl. But all that she kept saying was, the way that I've been brought up, this, that, and other, and it was stopping her from really, really believing what God was trying to get through to her. And she kept saying to me, I feel unfulfilled, and I know God's got something else, but she was still stuck. And as I look at Joshua, God put him in a place where he really couldn't. There was nothing to run back to. They'd just crossed the Jordan. So really, he had no choice. You see, Joshua needed faith. Because what God was asking him to do was totally against reason and intellect and logic. When God said that to Joshua, I wonder what he was thinking. I know what I'd have been thinking. In Joshua's shoes, I'm a warrior. I've been trained to be a warrior. I've been trained, it was a long time under Moses, and now you're telling me to do this? This is bizarre. And what's going to be even harder is that Joshua had to tell his commanders and the people to do what God had asked him to do. It just didn't make any sense. And in the book of James, it says that faith does things, but it doesn't have to make sense. All that you and I have to know is that it is God speaking to us. Let me see if I can explain this. You remember in the book of Acts with Philip? Acts chapter 8, here's Philip. Him and John, they're in a revival. Things that we're praying about now. What on earth would that look like? If revival came to Shetland now, what would it look like? Here's John and here's Philip, and they're in a revival in Samaria. And all of a sudden, God speaks to Philip, and he said, leave where you are and go and stand out in the middle of nowhere. Because I've got somebody that I want you to talk to. I'm going to ask you to put yourself in Philip's shoes here. We've been praying for a revival here. A revival's come, and we're loving it, and we're really enjoying it. And all of a sudden, God said to us, I want you to leave here. I want you to just go to the island of Fuller and wait for a boat, because I want you to speak to the captain. It's just bonkers. But that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 8. A man walking with God, and he knew exactly what God was telling him to do. Right at the beginning, I've talked about God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through circumstances. He speaks to us through other people, through a sense of peace, but also this witness of God within us. The witness of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives. I was looking at this and I thought, I'm just wondering if I would have heard that. If I'd been praying for a revival and I'm in the middle of it in Samaria, would I have really heard God tell me to do that? It just doesn't make any sense. When God begins to speak, sometimes we need faith, because logically and intellect, it just don't fit in. Listen to this. Once there was a man who dared God to speak. Burn in the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow you. Collapse the walls like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight. Still the waves like you did on Galilee, God, and I will listen. And so the man sat by a bush near a wall next to the sea and waited for God to speak. And God heard the man and answered. He sent fire, not for a bush, but for a church. He brought down a wall, not of brick, but of sin. He stilled a storm, not of sea, but of the soul. And God waited for the man to respond. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. But because the man was looking at bushes and not hearts, bricks and not lives, seas and not souls, he decided that God had done nothing. And finally he looked to God and said, God, have you lost your power? And God looked at him and said, man, have you lost your hearing? The answer to Joshua's question, are you for us or against us? And the answer was no. What kind of an answer was that? No. In other words, Joshua, it wasn't the right question to ask. No. Joshua, I want you to know that you're with me. I'm not with you. You're on my side because I am the commander. I'm in charge. It's a lovely picture of Joshua where he completely just submits under his authority. Joshua was a great leader, but he wasn't the commander. The Lord came to instruct Joshua of his plan to Jericho. And I think that plan were very opposite to how he would have planned it. Before anything could happen, God needed victory over his people. He wanted his people to think like him. So from God's viewpoint, this battle and this victory were already won. Chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. Joshua, I've already given this. I love this. It's already done and dusted. But now your faith needs to be raised onto such a level that you will understand my word and my mind and my thinking. I want you to march around this city. Can you imagine Joshua? He's just heard this and now he's got to communicate this to the people. Joshua, don't be so stupid. You are having a laugh. We're warriors, Joshua. You've trained us. Here he is. This isn't my training. I'm not used to this. This is not a method I would choose. I don't see how anything else can work. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? I don't know. This is too far. This is too much. I'm just going to rely upon the way that I've been trained. And sometimes you and I can become very legalistic and very dogmatic. Again, I'm not having a go at anyone. I'm talking about me. Sometimes I'm afraid to listen to God. Sometimes I'm scared of what he's going to ask me to do. And Joshua the leader, he explains this to his leaders and all Israel. I don't think it had made any sense. But this was the way that they had to conquer the city. Look at verses 6 and 7. This is beautiful. The ark was before them. They could see it. They could see the presence of God. And when they can see it, it meant that what they saw, they couldn't see anything else. In other words, God wants you and I to hear him and to see him so that when we see him before us and he's leading us by his presence, our eyes are not on me and it's not on us and it's not on problems and it's not on difficulties. Our eyes are upon him. And I think that's the reason why here in verses 6 and 7, the ark could be seen. So their eyes were upon it. And then Joshua instructed the people to walk round to start with just once. Keep your mouth closed. Don't even murmur. Don't say one word. Keep your gob shut, as they say in Yorkshire. Don't let one word come out. This were different. It wasn't the usual way. This were unnerving. This were outside the box. This were uncomfortable. Joshua, we'll trust you. Then you look at verses 8 to 14. Once he hears from God, Joshua doesn't hesitate. As soon as he hears from God, he goes and speaks. And I was thinking to myself, the times that I have delayed, when God has made things clear, I have often delayed things. Why? I'll tell you these three things for me. Number one, I don't want to. Number two, I don't get it. Number three, I don't want to see it. Number four, I don't believe it. They're the four things that come up in my own heart and mind. When God asks me to step out, when it seems odd, when it seems laughable, when it seems stupid, when it seems against common sense and intellect and logic, and God says, Pete, I want you to step out and trust me. A stretch of faith in obedience to him. And this is Joshua. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've had to wake up to that and work my way into that. And God's really patient and he's lovely. He's really, really patient with us. Verses 15 and 16, just to bring things to a close, they marched around this city for 6 days. And what they had to do it with patience, something that seemed stupid, something that seemed a waste of time, and they had to do it in silence. And then we read about 7 days, so they'd have had to do this on the Sabbath as well at some point. The people then had to shout. And it was a command from Joshua, from God, tell the people to shout with a great shout. This morning I woke up quite early with a sore throat and a thick head and a really thick chest. And as I sat up, I was just reminded of something that God asked Jeremiah years ago. And he said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said to God, I see a big basket of fruit. And the Lord said to him, Jeremiah, you see well. Why am I asked that? Because to me, seeing and hearing is really important. When I hear from God, I can often see God, as we thought about this morning. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they can see God. These fresh encounters, you and I need fresh encounters. So I want to leave you with four questions. And these questions, I maybe spoke about these questions when I first came here. What I want to do is I want to leave these four questions with you. Maybe just for you to think about and pray through during this week. And if you get an answer, I'd love to know. I'm going to be praying through these things for me this week. Number one, when was the last time God spoke to you? Number two, how did you know it was God? Number three, what did he say to you? Number four, what have you done with what he said? Just them four questions. An encounter with God. He wants to meet with us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to guide us. He wants to guard us.